Sometimes I just like to stand here and smile at you all. Just to see who's still awake. I'm sure you all are. It is good to be here. God is so good to us. We do not even have an inkling of what He's preparing for us in heaven. We see through a glass darkly. But I've chosen for a sermon title today, Not Fair. Some people think that God is not fair. And some people think that life is not fair. Some people think their parents are not fair. Some people think this country is not fair. Well, we shall see. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that You have a plan for us. We know that You did not want us to fall. You did not desire that we have this type of life today. This is not the life You intended for us. But because You gave us a will, a free will, You gave us a choice. We could have a blessed, stress-free life, or we could have the one we're having right this today. It's been our choice. It was our choice. Now, Lord, the people that have gathered here today have chosen You. They want better than what this life offers for now. They want hope. They want a future. They want to get out of here so desperately, because it is so bad and so evil down here in this world. But Lord, we need patience and we need Your help. So we ask that You would help us this day. Give us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, some have asked me why God allows so many terrible things to happen. Why are there earthquakes? Why the suffering in the world, the wars and the genocide and the drug wars and the sicknesses and the afflictions, the diseases, the pestilences? Why the murders, cancers, violence? All these things that are in this world, surely an omnipotent God could have prevented all this. And why doesn't He step in and do something? Where is God? What's God up to? Why do the innocent suffer? If God is a loving God, why doesn't He do something? Now, in the story of the fall of mankind, we learn that Adam and Eve, they caused a fatal disease to fall upon us. And that fatal disease is called sin. And sin has infected the whole human race. It has infected the whole of the earth. All the creatures of God's creation, plants, animals, are all infected by the decision of man to do his own thing and partake of the knowledge of good and evil. They were not content with an innocent state. They did not feel God was being fair in withholding the knowledge of good and evil. And it is exactly this knowledge that we have today that continues to run rampant and cause all the afflictions of our life that we have today. It's not fair. No, it's not. Why they did should only affect them, shouldn't it? I mean, it was Adam and Eve's fault, wasn't it? Why? It's not fair. Why should you and I be caused or cursed with the consequences of their actions? And indeed, we are so cursed. We are. What is God up to? It is the same question the disciples asked when they were in the ship in the storm and they were despairing for their lives. Master, carest thou not that we perish? What are you doing asleep in the boat when this boat is about to fill with water and we're all going to drown? Don't you even care? The world thinks God is not paying attention. If they believe in God at all, some of them believe, well, he's not really paying attention to us and he doesn't care. Oh, but he does. Yes, he does. He cares. The problem with us is that we are mortal and limited in our understanding. We do not see beyond the problems of the day. We want a God that we can control, not one that controls us. We want a God that we can order around. God, I want this, I want that. Give it to me now or I won't believe in you. Some deal for God, isn't it? I'll believe in you if you give me my way. It's like a child that says, I'll obey you. I'll be an obedient child as long as you give me everything I want. That's a deal, isn't it? Well, that's the deal they want, but they don't get it. Now, the ones that do, you see the results of what they do. The prisons are full of them. The hospitals are full of them. People who will not live in subjection to God's will, what can you do for them? What can we do? But they reject God when they prayed. They didn't get what they asked for. Many people do that. Some people have the mistaken idea that if you believe in God, everything should be good. And when something goes wrong, it's God's fault. Or the church's fault. Or anybody else's fault. Not theirs, of course. But God is just and he is fair. You see, it is like this. If my parents took heroin and became addicts, and my mother was on heroin all through her pregnancy, and I was born a heroin addict, what choice would I have? Whose fault is it that I was born a heroin addict? God's? Did God tell my mother and father to take heroin? No, it was my parents' fault. That's right. It was my parents' fault. Now, what would be the right thing for the hospital to do for me? I'm a heroin kid. I was born withdrawing from heroin. What would be the right thing for the hospital to do? Answer? Help me! Cure me! Fretting over who's to blame does not do anyone any good. I'm still a heroin addict, so I'm lying in the incubator screaming my lungs out because I'm going through withdrawal symptoms, needing a fix. It's not fair. Ladies and gentlemen, we are sinners. Whether we sinned ourselves or not, we are sinners. We have an incurable disease. It will kill us. It's not fair. It's also not God's fault. It's the truth. Whether you say amen or not, it's still the truth. It is Adam's and Eve's fault. But Adam and Eve couldn't undo the harm they caused. So God stepped in. Yes, he did. And he made a way. God provided a cure and made a way that would ultimately deliver us, save us. And that was Jesus. Yes, it was. First, he provided the sacrificial system that provided a way for forgiveness by faith for the Jewish people. He started with Abel. Abel understood that there needed to be a sacrifice for the sin of his father and mother. And for the sin that now he was infected with, and he tried to show his brother Cain that he needed to do the same thing. And Cain said, it wasn't my fault that mom and dad did what they did. It wasn't my fault. I can give God whatever I want. It's God's fault that we're in this position. And they had an argument, and guess what happened to poor Abel? He said they went out in the field, and they had a little discussion, and Abel didn't come back. God said to Cain, where is your brother? He says, I'm not my brother's keeper. What an arrogant attitude he had. I'm not my brother's keeper. I don't know. God said, your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. So I'm putting a mark on you and you're banished. And whatever you try to grow is going to give you trouble. You'll have a hard time growing anything. And Cain said, my punishment is more than I can bear. Oh, you poor thing, you. You just killed your brother and you're thinking about yourself. And isn't that the way we all think? It's God's fault. I'm not taking responsibility for my actions. And so he said, well, everybody that finds me, they will kill me. And this God says, therefore, here's a mark. If they kill you, then they'll be avenged. And away he went. But he provided a sacrificial way through the blood of an innocent lamb, an innocent victim. And it pointed to the day, and so did the tabernacle, and so did the temple. These sacrifices pointed to the day when Jesus would come and die for us and cure the disease called sin once and forever. What's God doing today? Where is God? Doesn't God care? Yes, He does. What more do you want God to do than He's already done? He's provided a way. Now, if you don't believe in it and you don't take the cure, who do you have to blame for dying in your sins or dying the miserable death that you die? Is it God's fault? God's not fair. Oh, yes, He is. I beg to differ with you, my dear friend. God is very fair because He's provided a cure for us crack babies. We did not cause the thing called sin, but we nevertheless are infected with the disease. And if we don't affect the cure, if we don't receive the cure which Jesus Christ provides, and how did He provide it? He died a death He didn't deserve so we could live the life that He deserved. It wasn't fair to Jesus to die the way He did. He was innocent. He took our sins. He bore our sicknesses. He shed His blood so that we could be cured of the miserable disease called sin. Have you availed yourself of this cure? Jesus offers you and I a cure. Now, coming to church is a good thing. And believing the truth is a good thing, but applying the truth is a different thing. Have you applied the cure to your own life, to your own heart? Because this is what it's all about, folks. We can talk about the coming of the Lord. We can talk about the three angels' message. We can talk about the investigative judgment till we're blue in the face. We can absolutely memorize Daniel's 70 weeks and 2,300 years, and we can know that down pat, but if we don't know Jesus as our Savior, we have missed the whole point. You need Jesus personally in your life, and no matter how weak you are, how dumb or smart you are, how old or young you are, you need Jesus. There is a cure for the disease called sin. If you die in your sins, it is not God's fault. He has sent people like Jesus. Ever since Jesus went back to heaven, He said, you 12 disciples and all everybody that hear, this is the message. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This promises to those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you are in the range of the sound of my voice, you have heard. There is a cure. If you die in your sins, you will face God in your sins. And you cannot blame Him. Sure, go ahead, blame Adam and Eve for the condition that you're in. But you can't stay there. It's like me in the hospital. That baby, it needs the cure. It doesn't matter how he got there. He just needs the cure. You need the cure today. Jesus is the cure. Anybody here today that has not asked Jesus to forgive their sins, have not committed their life to Jesus, this is a good day to do it. As I said in the beginning, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Don't wait till tomorrow. Yesterday, you finished with that. It's right now that is important in God's economy. Have you made up your mind yet? By saying, I haven't, you have. You've made up your mind not to. Let's make that decision today. Let's ask Jesus to forgive our sins if we haven't done it. And if we need a renewal, if we need a cleansing, an updated reconciliation to God, shall we call it, then let's just silently pray at this time. And I will lead. Heavenly Father, I ask on behalf of some that may be praying at this very moment that you forgive their sins, that you would wash their heart and cleanse their soul by your precious blood, that you would apply the stripes of your back, the wounds that you allowed yourself to be afflicted with, to help heal some of those today that need healing in their bodies, but spiritual healing, a renewal for some that have had an experience with you, that have received you before, but have allowed their hearts to grow cold. Oh Lord, stir up the gift that is within them. And I especially ask on behalf of this people who are unworthy at the best, that you would bathe us in your blood, and that you would fill us to overflowing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we might light up, that we might be on fire, and that we might win the generation to whom we have been sent. This I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.